Here's our TSN hockey insider, Chris Johnston. What's your read on the Jake Muzzin situation, Chris?
Yeah, my understanding is he's got a follow-up appointment in California with the doctors he saw there, specialists. I think it's some point early next week, and then, you know, there'll be a clear direction. But I'm very much with O-Dog. I think at this point, it unfortunately, would be a surprise if he was able to come back and make an attempt at returning. You know, Jake Muzzin stayed very close to the Leafs. He's been traveling on the road, but, you know, I don't believe going to be in his in the cards that he'll be back healthy and playing again.
Yeah, that's. I mean, it's too bad. It is too bad. But as you pointed out, based on what we've seen the last few months, it probably would not be a surprise. Continuing on this theme, we were saying just prior to having you on, CJ, like when the Leafs return next Friday, people are going to be seeking updates. It will not have been 3 weeks since Austin Matthews went out with the knee injury, and the report when they issued the statement, they said a minimum of 3 weeks. But what are you looking for in terms of detail when the Leafs return? When we hit that three-week date, if he's not playing, and I don't think he will be at that point, you know, how much information would you even expect the Leafs to offer up publicly on the status of Austin Matthews?
Well, I mean, the big thing I'm looking for is when he rejoins practice, right? Because, you know, that would sort of be when we see him on the ice, he's ramping back up. And you know, with the nature of a knee injury, you know, he's not able to skate in these initial days as he's recovering from that. And I think, you know, look, the Leafs are in a fortunate position given the standings. I mean, it doesn't make it as juicy for us that everything's so locked in stone. But, you know, I don't think there's any reason to rush this. I think that they have the ability to be patient. And, you know, we're talking about, you know, the player you want to be the best on your team when the games matter. And so I think everything will be geared around making sure he has the chance to do that when we get to April. And so, you know, if it ends up being 4 weeks, you know, I'm not sure that that's really the end of the world. I mean, this has probably happened at a good time, if you could ever say that, for an injury, but just because there is this break in the schedule. They don't, you know, they don't play or practice even next week. And so, you know, I 3 weeks, I think, is maybe a little bit ambitious there, but I haven't heard any, you know, recent updates in the last couple of days about how he's faring his return. But you know, wouldn't be a surprise for me if it ended up being a little bit longer than that.
Yeah, I think most people are probably bracing for that. And then the third injury pillar to fall as of next Friday would be Matt Murray and the status of Murray. What is your understanding on where that stands and when we can expect an answer on where he's at and what his status is going to be?
Well, it'll be curious to learn then what he was able to do during this break, because it, you know, it didn't sound like anything that was going to be long term. But you know, if it's been a period of days here where he's not getting reps or not you know, going on the ice, you know, maybe that stretches out a little bit. You know, I'm not sure what, you know, he's able to do at this point in time. But, you know, there were no, other than the fact that this is a player that's dealt with a lot of injuries. And so there's always a little bit of sensitivity or concern, you know, when he has another one, as he did in this case, and, you know, came up in a game he was supposed to start. You know, I don't think the specific ailment is one that has the Leafs too worried. So, you know, the break will probably be good timing for him too. And I would think, unless there's some kind of setback, that he'll be in a position to be coming back pretty soon when the schedule resumes.
CJ, what's your gut telling you what the Leafs want to do? Do they want to add a big, tough defenseman? Do they want a skilled winger? Like, what do you think their needs are in priority?
Well, I've been pretty locked in on thinking that they would devote most of their assets or their cap space to a forward. You know, that seemed to make sense to me. There was, you know, some consistent reporting that kind of suggested that way, but I will say that I had someone this week who I was speaking with who's, you know, fairly at least semi in the loop on you know, the thinking there, and he insists that he thinks that they're going to make a move, a primary move to address the defense, and I think the truth of the matter is I don't think they're locked in on just one thing. I think that it's a case where, you know, they're sitting back, they're surveying the entire market, both defense and forwards, you know, getting a sense of what the costs are going to be. And then as it gets closer to March 3rd, they're going to make a choice about where they think that what move would bring them the most impact. And so I don't know at this point in time that it has to be a top six forward, that it has to be, you know, a defenseman maybe that brings a little bit more abrasiveness, that can play in your top four. You know, I think that they're kind of keeping an open mind about it. And truthfully, when all is said and done, the dust settles, I wouldn't be surprised if they've brought in a player for each position. Now, are we talking a depth guy or someone that moves the needle? I think that's really the question. And, you know, it hasn't really been in Kyle Dubas' nature. I know there was the 1 year they traded the first rounder for Nick Foligno a couple years back, but by and large, they haven't gone huge with the prices that they've paid for rentals. And, you know, if that continues to be the case, then I just don't see them being in on the biggest names, you know, the names that are right at the top of that trade bait board that TSN put out.
CJ, we discussed this at length the last couple of days about, you know, Dubas maybe going all in a lot of different ways. Do you not feel that, you know, with what you have right now, John Tavares at 32 years old, you know, having a great season, William Nylander having a career season, Mitch Marner as well, and we know what Austin Matthews is capable of, you know, does it not have to be a scenario where you kind of got to go all in? And I know you said it, that's not been Kyle's, you know, MO, I guess, basically, in the last couple of years. But don't you feel like a guy like Nyes, if you can get a king's ransom back, like, shouldn't it be kind of everything out the window and you got to make your team a lot better if you feel you got a chance here to compete?
I can see that argument. I just don't think it's the way Kyle Dubas thinks. You know, I know for a fact, like last year, it took a long time for that Mark Giordano trade to come together. You know, remember, first rounder went from the Panthers to get Ben Chiarot in the lead up to that deadline. Like, the Leafs hung around to the end to see what they could best, in their view, get for a second round pick. They were not giving up a first rounder for a player on expiring contract. And, you know, that specific example worked out well because, you know, look at the Panthers. They traded this year's first and next year's for Chiarot and Giroux and, you know, got one playoff round out of it and lost in round two pretty easily. And now they're sitting here out of the playoffs and they don't own their first round pick. I think that Kyle doesn't want to, for a rental, do that. Now, you know, maybe there's some guys out there that have term and it's a little different calculus, but I just think he thinks it's too random that, you know, for 20 regular season games, give or take, and no more than 28 in the playoffs at the absolute most to give up that kind of a return. So, you know, I'm not going to say and put my career on it, say he would never do it, but that's just not how he thinks. And so that would represent a change of his philosophy and approach if he were ever to you know, swing big and do something like that.
Yeah, and I think that what a lot of people listening to this conversation would be thinking, and it's what I'm thinking right now, is, well, he's in the final year of his deal, and you would think every year it's even more desperate. You got to win. Yet at the same time, if he's constantly being evaluated and he's confident in the way he operates, I kind of understand where you're going with that, Chris. Like, if he's saying to Shanahan and company, I know what I'm doing. I'm the man for the job. I'm not going to freak out to prove something differently. In other words, if he is philosophically set on an approach at the deadline, he probably shouldn't change it just to prove that he can or he will.
Right. Like, in his mind, he's not auditioning for anything here, right?
Right.
They should know exactly what he is. I think, you know, obviously as Hugo along, he's now in his fifth year as a GM, and longer than that in the front office, he learns things and maybe you have the thought and you change and adjust over time. But I think he's going to stay true to himself, honestly, and let the chips fall where they may. I mean, the Leafs have played, each of those 5 years, I'm pretty sure they played in one game where if they won the game that night, they would have went to the second round and unfortunately came up with losses in all of them. But, you know, they have been right there. And here we are again talking. They're at the top of the standings. They're pretty close to it in the league in points percentage. I just think that he's not going to do anything too dramatic. Now, look, I might be wrong, but if he does, I will say it's a big surprise. I think he's going to stick to the plan he's done. He's believed in it. He's believed in this core group. But we all know the stakes are different this year. I mean, it's probably been said in the past. I think this year it's quite true. I mean, there's so few players on the team that are signed beyond the season. Even a couple of the ones that are eligible for extensions, the Nylander and Matthews as of July 1st. You know, Kyle Dubas himself doesn't have a contract. I mean, this could be a make-or-break type of season, but I'm not sure that that's going to alter the way that Dubas himself approaches the decisions he's got here in the next month.
Well, that was where I was going to go, and it's, you know, again, we're not privy to the information, but there is potentially massive change on the horizon if individual players decide that they want to move on. And, you know, it's easy to go, well, Matthew Tkachuk left Calgary, so, you know, maybe Matthews does that. I don't believe that personally, but there is a lot of uncertainty moving forward. That's why I feel like this is a real critical season for a guy like Kyle to kind of push the chips in and go, I'm gonna not basically do everything I can to compete against Boston, compete against Tampa, because I don't know what my roster construction is going to look like 18 months from now with some of the options that are on the table. With like, Willie can just walk if he wants to.
I was going
to
say, nobody's talked about it, Noodles, but Willie can do the same thing. He can pull a Matthew Tkachuk and say, I'm probably not going to resign here.
Yeah, and he could also just play out next year. I mean, they could look at trade him at the deadline. Like, there's a lot of different ways this could go. I mean, Matthews is different in my estimation. Like, if they're not announcing a contract extension on or about July 1st, then I think you have to be having a conversation about moving him right away. I just don't think that's a player you bring back into a contract here in a market like Toronto. I mean, it could happen elsewhere, right? David Pastrnak, one of the best players in the league, is doing it right now in Boston. It's not really causing that much noise or distraction, but it's a different beast when we're talking about the Leafs and we're talking about a player like Matthews. So I think that decision has to come July 1st. The Nylander one, there might be a little bit more wiggle room, and then we really have to know who's making the decision, right? That's where it starts. I mean, if some alternate world, if, you know, they're not extending Kyle Dubas, they're bringing someone else in. I mean, we don't know how that person would do those choices either. So it's going to be crazy. Like, whenever the playoffs end, you know, I don't know if it's at the end of the first round or if it's with a, you know, Stanley Cup being paraded around Bay Street. But either way, the days after when the season ends will be pretty dramatic in terms of how the Leafs approach that, what they do with Dubas, and then ultimately what that means for, you know, some of the core members of the team.
With Chris Johnston, our TSN hockey insider, I'm seeing reports out of Florida that Sidney Crosby's down there setting up shops, speaking with the media, and he was asked about the playoff format. And Sid, who I would think has a pretty loud voice and a pretty powerful
No one's going to listen to anybody about it, so why?
Well, he said he thinks they should return to 1-8, 2-7. He said he thinks it supports the better teams, or it puts better teams in a better position to succeed over 82 games. I don't have the exact quote in front of me, but, you know, it's one thing for the three of us, CJ, where we all think they should return to that. A lot of people seem to have that view. How does Gary Bettman, like, if you ask Bettman, hey, the best player in the game, the face of your game, thinks that the playoff format is wrong, would Bettman even care? Would even answer to it?
Well, he, as you know, in those press conferences, he only answers what he wants to answer, and he'll go in another direction if he doesn't want to meet you head on something like that. The beautiful thing is he's due to speak tomorrow at 2 p.m. here, so I'm sure he'll be asked a form of that question in that availability. And you're right, Crosby isn't the only one. I heard Nathan MacKinnon. I don't have a quote in front of me either, but I was at the media day yesterday, and Nathan MacKinnon went off on it. I think he actually specifically cited the Leafs and Lightning, like without being, you know, prompted in that direction. He just said it's crazy that those teams are going to have to play each other in round one, given how good both of them are. Because of this sort of forced format. So I'm beyond myself on this one. This has been one I've been beating the drum on. Like, I think it doesn't make sense to have 82 game season and then, you know, consistently, and it's not just the Atlantic. I mean, it's been the Atlantic a couple times, but you have the third or fifth best teams in the whole league playing in round one. It's happened year after year after year, or, you know, sometimes even like first and third overall played in round two. You know, it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense, and I have to think they're going to change, but, you know, there's a lot of, as we know, Gary Bettman has a lot of power in this league. It's not just the title. It's the 30 years and the amount of control he has. And, you know, he's got to be convinced, and maybe Sid can do that. I'm not sure.
Yeah, maybe he can. You getting your miles in down there, Chris? You out running, or what's going on down there with you in South Beach?
Yeah, I'm not complaining, man. This was nice. I don't know about you guys. I didn't travel in January. I found it pretty gloomy. Didn't see a lot of sun. It's not just the cold in the winter. So,
did you run every day, though, or have you taken the odd day off, we'll call it?
No, I haven't missed a day in 3 years, so I'm still going.
Wow.
What?
Now,
no,
let me
hang
ask
on a second.
Hang on a second. Go at Noodles. You take the floor. You're objective.
Okay.
Here.
So, in the 3 years, if it was bad weather or whatever or something, would you consider running on a treadmill?
Yes, I have run on a treadmill. Sometimes when I've been traveling, because it's easier in a hotel if you don't know the city that well or whatever.
But see, to me, that is still running. We're talking about outside stuff. We've had a huge argument here. You have ran every day for 3 years, regardless if it's on a road outside or on a treadmill, correct?
Correct.
That's what I was talking about.
is the assertion if I run for 50 minutes on a treadmill that that doesn't count?
It's like, you know, it's
it
like
does not
golfing
it
in a simulator.
Count.
You know,
it does count.
Yeah, it's not. You
not
know,
in this particular venture. Not in this venture because we had a bet that you were outside booking it every day. Mm. And by the way, dude, you didn't run every day for 3 years because you just had your two fingers sawed off or whatever happened to
dude,
your hand.
I ran.
You were in a hospital bed.
No, I ran that morning before I went to surgery. Surgery was at 11, and then I was discharged, and I ran the next day with a cast on.
Wow.
There you go.
So that counts. That counts, then. I think it's a wash because I thought you were outside. I got to be honest. It's still very impressive, but again, it's like you can't say you went golfing if you went to the sim. You know, hey, what track did you play? A mat. I hit it into the wall.
Oh, no, the treadmill is
from
hard,
an exercise
man.
Standpoint, it counts, but I think being outside, it's different, man. It's just a little different, CJ.
Can you believe these guys? Like I've got your back because I know you're putting in an hour on the treadmill, and they think that it's like, not even real. The treadmill is really
artificial.
Hard.
It's a little bit artificial. And I'm as an athlete myself, I'm disappointed. As an athlete myself.
Awesome. I've told, obviously I've talked about this streak to lots of people. No one has ever chirped me about it. I've got nothing but respect. But you guys are the first guys to call into question anything about it. I love it.
Yeah. Just a little bit. Just a minor amount. Yeah, we try to be original. You know that, CJ. Well, enjoy yourself down there. But you got to be outdoors down there. Right, got to be running on the beach or whatever.
And honestly, I find the heat worse than the snow. So I'm getting up early to do it because I find 28 degrees, I'm melting after about a kilometer.
Yes, attaboy. Well, keep chugging, man. Do your thing. We always appreciate you taking time. Thank you for this.
Okay, guys. Thanks.
There's Chris Johnston, our TSN hockey insider. Yeah, I don't know.
Crazy.
So just a little bit different, Noodles. Like it's just it's a little bit different, man. It's like a hole in one on a sim. It doesn't really count. Doesn't count.
A hole in one on a sim. Like golfing, you can't compare. Golfing's not exercise. Like if you walk the course, yes, you get your steps in. Other than that, swinging a club, that's not exercise.
Yes, it is.
It's not
exercise. Stretching.
Oh,
it's yoga.
Yes.
It's yoga with
it's
a golf
yoga.
Club.
Yoga like yoga's serious where you get into these poses and moves and
dude,
stuff. You have to hold.
I think golfing,
forever.
Even with a cart, is exercise.
Absolutely,
I actually believe that.
I agree. Walking to the
it's
green.
It's not a sport when you can smoke while you're doing it and drink while you're doing it.
Well,
and you can literally have a dart in your mouth while you are swinging. Correct.
Those people that smoke while they golf are pigs. But anyway, I think a cart, like you just get into a cart with a buddy and it's like, I'll walk to, you know, if I'll, you drive to
yeah,
the tee
shot. Yeah, meet you up there. Yeah.
Yeah. You can get a three bagger, they call it. Three bags
there's
on the
exercise.
Cart.
There's exercise. It counts.
Oh, it is. It's better than sitting on your couch. Don't get me wrong. It's fresh air. It's out. It's socializing. I'm not taking a shot at it in that way, but it is not. You know, hard cardio and
no,
all of
not.
That.
It it's not just, pure no. exercise. You're,
it is
you're not
resting
getting in shape
exercise. It is resting.
And twice
exercise.
A week, yes, I use the Moto Caddy, and it's
that's
an
right.
electric cart. And it's the guy from Golf Town hooked me and Duffy up last year, and I swear by the Moto Caddy, it's awesome.
I've seen you use it. You're a new man when you're out there. I mean,
thank you.
It's a completely different vibe. Melanin Friday is brought to you by Boston Pizza, Canada's favorite sports bar. From touchdowns to tie bites and puck drops to pizza, BP's elite lineup of apps, wings, and ice cold beer is always dialed in for game time. Hustle into your local BP tonight. All right, Dear Hazy B is on the horizon. Best bets brought to you by FanDuel later in the hour. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.